happens to play praises of his people, meaning that when the church praises God and why it's so important that we worship God like we just did, is so that we can create an atmosphere where he can dwell or take up residence. And what the enemy would like us to do is to call off vision for the Dream Center and not create a place where he can dwell, but to leave it what it is and to leave that community in the condition that it is. Someone commented on the post, this is why, you know, people won't come into the community and do anything because of, you know, people doing stuff like this to people who are wanting to try to do something great. And what I realized in that moment is that the enemy would like us to throw our hands in the air, but he forgot one thing, that God gave vision to the wrong people to do that. I've never given up in my life ever on something like this, and I refuse to now. I was not deterred, and you were not deterred by $1.9 million. Maybe a few of you, but you'll get over it. You'll come along eventually. Right? But I was not deterred by that. I'm not going to be deterred by it. It's going to take more than a couple of windows for you all to get me to call it quits. Hello. And so that's not a dare. That's just a promise. And so because God is faithful, and so I believe that. And so hang on. You'll see more than what God's doing, even already what he's done. So, but what I believe is that when the Bible talks about dwelling or to dwell, the enemy doesn't want you and I to take up residence in that place with the Dream Center, because to dwell means to make covenant with. And so the moment that the Dream Center is actually officially open, it means that we've made an official covenant. It means that we're to, even more importantly, what it really means to dwell in something, this is why it's important that even as husband and wife, that there is unity in our relationships. It's not just because the covenant that you make with one another, but you drive out all the adversaries to what you're trying to accomplish. And so the enemy wants to be able to abort and stop that. And so that's why it's so important that we're more now in unity than ever before, that we will see either God's going to minister to the people that have been doing the damage and draw them to him, or that God will drive them out. That's how it works in the Word of God, that either he will draw them to him. That's why the Bible says, draw nigh to me, right? Exactly. And so we're going to pray that they'll be drawn nigh unto him. And if they won't, what the Bible says, even in Scripture we'll look at today, that he will drive them out. And so we'll see God's glory, his abundance, his promise be fulfilled anyway. Thank you, Lord. Are you ready now? Now I guess I can go to the real message of the day, and we'll focus on things, because I'm going to wrap it up today. Really, in all rights, we should have had two more weeks of this series, but I'm going to wrap it up today, because it's taken like 6 weeks, and it's been awesome, it's been great, but time to move on. And so I knew this morning that I wanted to just fast forward and sort of wrap it up, and I got to share last week, even though I didn't get to preach, I shared with you a little bit, a nugget of where we were going to go, that he's a God of protection. And today we're going to end with that he's a God of overflow, and that you and I need to be able to be people that are recipients of his overflow. That our lives do not have to be just a little or doing without, but that the God that we serve, he's a God of more than enough. He's a God of overflow. Even as we are focused on and looking forward to what God is doing at the Dream Center, you've got to believe that he is a God of overflow in your personal life. Stop looking at how much you make on your paycheck, because your paycheck is not how big God is. You have to believe that he is a God of overflow, no matter if there's not enough zeros on the check. That watch how God will show up anyhow in other ways in your life. Don't you just thank God when you get checks in the mail unexpected? Hallelujah. Happened to me recently. Thank you, Lord. Just when you needed it most. And so I'm grateful and thankful. We're going to look into the Word of God, a couple of scriptures. We'll go to 2 Chronicles 20 in a moment. But all through this series, we've looked at one stable scripture in Psalms 34, 1 through 4. And we've looked there, and I'm going to begin by looking there again this morning, just because we are in a time where there's all kinds of turmoil and problems and issues in this life. And often we all handle problems and issues in life different ways. Some of us lose our mind. I know all of you are more saved than I am, so you never lose your temper or anything like that, right? Uh-huh. And there are liars in the house of God, too. Praise God. But there's turmoil all around us. You know, sometimes I find myself screaming at the news or, you know, in my car, whatever it may be. We can just lose it, but there's turmoil throughout our nation even today. And we're divided whether we should even celebrate July 4th or not. And we're divided on every possible issue that you can think of. So there's turmoil, but how we handle it really is consistent through the Word of God. How you and I handle turmoil in your life is going to determine the results that you reap in your life. Some of us are just better at handling turmoil than others. It doesn't make you a bad person. You just haven't learned the secret. A lot of people, when turmoil breaks out, a lot of Christians will say, well, let's pray. Wait a minute. I'm going to show you one other thing you better do before you go to God and ask. But you need to go to God and praise. Because that's what invites him into the situation right there. That's what we've been looking at over weeks. Prayer is important and prayer is powerful. But one of the most important things that you can do is to give God praise even in the midst of the turmoil. It don't matter if they yelled at you, screamed at you, or cussed you out. Give God thanks and praise. Hallelujah. Sometimes I've said, God, I thank you it happened to me so it didn't have to happen to nobody else. God, thank you they cut me off because they could have killed somebody else. God, I thank you that I got this bad news today because, God, I know you have a plan even when I don't. You can thank God in things like that. Uh-oh. Yes, he is. See, you remembered that message. See, I have learned to thank God in the most difficult times. After going through a lot of problems in life, I've even thanked God. Lord, I thank you for everybody who's left me. I've learned to look, when people exit your life, you need to stop mourning it. I was thanking God this week. Thank you, Lord. Why? Because they just made room for the people that belong. Let them go. If they left you, they never belonged in the first place. Glory to God. I believe that. Let her go. I told somebody on the phone this week, I can't remember who it was. Maybe it was you. Maybe it was you, sister. But that I've learned this. I'm not going to beg anybody to stay. No, I love you, but I'm not going to beg anybody to stay in my life that doesn't want to stay on their own. Can the church shout amen? Amen. Stop begging the woman to stay. Stop begging the man to stay. Let them go. And watch what God will bless you with. I do the same thing with church people. If you want to go, go. I'll pray greener pastures for you. Greater things, come on somebody. But I'm telling you, I'll make room for people who want to stay and that God can use to bless my life so that I can in turn bless yours. That's a word for somebody. And you got it for free today. Hallelujah. It's all for free, right? I should have left James preach. He looks like he's raring to go. Don't try me. Some of these folks can tell you I'll do it too. Oh, he'll run out the door. Lois, if he does, take the camera right after him. We'll stream it all over the place. Make that thing go viral. Howdy. People walking by, looking in. You can come in. Hallelujah. Psalms chapter 34. I better get on with this so y'all can have your fireworks and hot dogs or whatever. Psalms 34, 1 through 4, by now you probably know it by heart. I know it by heart. It says, I will bless the Lord at all times, all right? His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. My humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. I will bless the Lord at all times. In other words, as we've talked about praise over the last number of weeks, what I've really encouraged people to do through all of the weeks, and we've had some good, powerful times of praise and worship and messages that have come forth in tongues and whatnot, and the Holy Spirit has been moving and been powerful, and it's been great, and it's been awesome. But one of the reasons that it's so important for you and I to understand praise is that one of the reasons that we don't really praise God to our fullest, even when we assemble together corporately in church on Sunday or Wednesday or whatever time it may be, is that we're often concerned about what other people think and that our praise might upset them or they might not get it or whatever. And I've just learned one thing about praise. People, no one will ever understand your praise because they cannot understand your problem. That's why I don't often particularly like it when people say, oh, I know how you feel. No, you don't. Because even though you may have went through what I went through, you're not feeling what I'm feeling, right? You may have went through it, but you're not harboring unforgiveness. Maybe I am. I know no other church person has ever dealt with unforgiveness in their life, but I have a few times. And so when other people try to say, I know how you're feeling, no, you don't. And so it is often in that place of other people that can't relate, that's where our praise really, our praise is to be radical or audacious, you know, boastful, loud, all of those things. That's what real praise is. And so no one can understand your praise because they cannot understand your problem. And so that's the first thing that I would lay out to you. Don't ever allow yourself to be intimidated to praise God. If you're the only one that gives God a shout of praise, then you're the only one. If you're the only one that'll give God a hand clap of praise, or if you're the loudest in the bunch, it doesn't really matter. See, I've learned it's easier to praise God in bigger crowds. When everybody's in church on Sunday and it's not a holiday, it's easier to hide in the crowd and praise God. But when you're one of the only few that are giving God praise, it's a little bit more intimidating. It's easy to praise God. We took a whole group of people down to South Hills and to the revival when it came from the Bay of the Holy Spirit revival, and it was easy for everybody. Man, everybody in our church ran to the front, down the altar, like up here, jumping and dancing, and I mean praising God and acting crazy like I was. And we all were, because it's easy to hide in the crowd. And then when we come back to church, like, what happened? Because the revival isn't specific to a location. It's a direct response to the God that you serve and what is established on the inside of you. Right? We spread it, right? It just doesn't fall on a building or a location. It's something that's going on in the inside of us. Anyway, praise brings forth a productive power in our lives. That's why we've looked over the last number of weeks. We've talked about praise and all the things it produces. And we looked at the fact that Judah means praise. And we looked at the sons of Judah and all the things that praise produces. And we said that it produces an anointing and that praise produces protection and that praise produces breakthrough, right? We said that praise produces all of these various things, which brings us to the fifth one and the final one that we're going to look at today. That is, praise produces overflow. Overflow. Or another way of saying it, that your praise produces more than enough. In other words, when there isn't enough, when you and I put a praise on what is not enough, God will make it more than enough. That's the God that we serve. When there is nothing left in your wallet, and you've got to just say, Lord, I need you to get me through, just thank him for what you have in the wallet. When it looks like the checking account has dwindled, right? When it looks like the paycheck won't be enough, praise him for what you have. I've learned the secret to get God to move and to bless, and it is praise. It isn't manipulating anybody to give it to you. Uh-oh. It isn't having to figure out another loan to pay the bills or what you have to sell. I've learned that if you and I will put a praise on anything, God will respond to it. He will respond to it. Our ministry is a result of praise. All that we have, all that we possessed, all that we've accomplished is a direct result of praise. When there wasn't enough, we just put a praise on it and then let God deal with the rest. When I've had issues in my life that was not enough, could have been financial, could have been health, you put a praise on it. Never take what the doctor says as the final report, put a praise on it. When you do that, you're basically saying, God, I recognize that you are above this word, and I'm not accepting this word as the final report. Don't ever accept a denial as the final report. They could have denied you credit, but God. Right? Someone can tell you no, but God, right? Any situation or circumstance in this life is able to be changed because of the praise that you and I put on it. Financial, health-wise, circumstantial, relational, whatever, right? put a praise on and believe God. Because we said weeks ago that what praise is the pathway to God's presence. If you want to get God to move and you want to get him to show up, just praise him. That just by simply saying, Lord, I thank you. You don't have to be radical like some people. Some people will jump and dance around here, right? We've seen that over the last couple of weeks. We'll lay hands and people get excited. You may not have that same response like somebody else. Some of us are just more chill and laid back, right? And then some of you are more emotional, right? The reality is that it don't matter what, you need to just thank God. Whether it's financial, relational, whatever it is, say, God, I thank you that my relationship isn't perfect, but God, I thank you for them. God, I thank you this job is driving me up a wall, but God, I thank you that I have a job. I thank you that, God, better days are ahead. God, these guys I've got to work with, Derek says, Lord, I love them, but they're about to make me scream. But Lord, I thank you for them anyway, right? God, sometimes the people that I pastor are going to drive me to pull my own hair out. But God, I thank you for them, whatever it could be. And what it does is it invites him into the circumstance. It invites him into it. The pathway to his presence is praise. And often what's missing from a problem is praise. And if praise is missing, then his presence is missing. Yeah. David's going to preach now, see? We'll just line you up. Y'all get to it. Praise. It's important. Remember, the Bible says the Father seeketh those who worship him in spirit and in truth. Meaning, that what that scripture means is those in the body of Christ that know his value will seek him. You know why most of our churches, Pastor Jim, just are casual about praise and worship? Because they really don't know his value. I believe that. They don't understand the value of praise and worship. In fact, most of our platform celebrities and churches don't understand his value. They're just doing what they do. They know how to entertain a crowd. Maybe they can sing good or play an instrument good. But what they don't understand is the value of who God is and the fact that we need him so desperately. And if we can understand his value, that's why the Bible says those who seek him, right? Those who diligently seek him, right? That God himself seeks after them. Because God is looking for the people that find value in him, that understand that he brings value to our churches, to our meetings, to our time of praise and worship. God himself. Because otherwise, what did I say the other week? If we don't have his presence, then all that it is a country concert or it's a rock concert. That's all church is without his presence. Right? A church service without his presence is the country club. That's the truth. And so, because it's his presence that brings the power into a place that brings change. And that's why we need it. What's going to make us different than any other organization is his presence. More than ever before, more than any other time on the earth. And so the Bible says that in, what is it, John 10:10, that the enemy comes but to steal, kill, and to destroy. But it says, I, Jesus, have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Because I want to focus on this final piece of praise and that praise brings overflow or that it brings abundance, I wanted to pause there for a moment about the word abundance. Because when God speaks in John 10:10, that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. But Jesus has come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Abundant life means superior in quality and quantity. It means that the life that God wants you and I to have isn't one without. Isn't one with minute, being small, having to do without. All of those things, but he says that Jesus has come for you and I to reap the benefit of the abundant life that he brings. The abundance means superior in quality and superior in quantity. Meaning that because of Jesus and because you and I know him or have a relationship with him, that God wants you to have a better quality life and a better life of more quantity. Or in other words, more than enough. Not having to do without. Not having to live little. I like to put it this way. Why are we going to serve a God who wants you and I to have more than enough, and I settle for not enough. There is never an example in Scripture where Jesus allows someone that he's ministering to go without enough. When Jesus steps on the scene, he demonstrates that he desires to bless them with more than enough. The feeding of the 5,000 is one example, and there are many. You've heard me preach that it was 5,000, right, just women and children, plus men. When you add up everybody that was really there, historically, it's more like 15,000. And Jesus took a few fish and loaves of bread, multiplied, and fed them all. So much so, what does the Bible say? There was more than enough that Jesus told the disciples when they were done feeding the masses of people, the thousands that were there. Jesus looked at the disciples and said, I want you to now go and pick up the scraps. And they loaded 12 full baskets full of leftovers. That's one example that God wants you and I to experience a more than enough life, a life superior in quality and quantity. Are you with me? More than enough. In other words, God's saying, and there's times I have to rebuke Christian people that are around me and that speak negativity. I've had to tell people, I refuse to listen to your word that is not based on the word of God. Because I serve a God of more than enough. I serve a God that desires every one of you and your families and our church and every ministry, the Dream Center, the radio station, our TV ministry, every aspect of it to be more than enough. Why? Because he said that Jesus has come that we might have more than enough. Meaning I don't have to do without. We don't have to. You don't have to do without in your own life. When I go to God in prayer, I remind him, God, you are a God of more than enough. And I refuse to do without because you did not send your son Jesus to die on a cross so that I had to do without. But instead, you created a pathway, a doorway that I could step into all that you are and all that you have as an inheritor of you. So, Lord, I'm an inheritor of you. I'm a joint heir. So, God, we just receive, and I thank you that, God, we're an inheritor of everything that you are and everything that you have and everything that you possess. Now, Lord, release it to your people. Every time a prayer request comes in, I pray those kind of prayers. And some of you are beneficiaries of that kind of prayer. Miracles that happen, healings that happen, breakthrough that happens. Right. Unexpected financial blessing. The favor that this ministry is under blows people's mind. And it's not because I rub shoulders with all the right people. No, I usually refuse to rub shoulders with them. But God gives us favor anyhow. Right? Why? Because I understand the value that he brings. Because I understand we're not building our kingdom, but we're building his kingdom. And so therefore, I understand the value that he brings in all areas of life. So the abundance superior in quality and quantity. Thank you, Lord. So the Bible says, Psalms chapter 150, I think it's verse 6, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. So what have you heard me say? The qualification for praise is, are you breathing? Sometimes I feel like we need to look over at one another and say, are you breathing? Right? And if they are, praise him. You don't have to jump a jig and dance all wild and crazy like you did in the club at one time. You can if you want to. James knows how to break it down. Are you going to show us, James? I'll see how it is, you know. Oh, in this day and age, everything is on camera. Everything. Oh, Lord, please. Help us. Let everything. Don't you just know when people say things and you get an image in your mind, you're just like, and you can't get it out. Lord Jesus, renew my mind. What's the Bible say? Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Lord, transform my mind. Hallelujah. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. So if you're breathing, you and I need to praise God. Doesn't matter what bad news, it doesn't matter how somebody treated you, I'm challenging you to start giving God praise. Not something radical where you're clapping your hands and shouting to the heavens. I'm talking about if you can just in the midst of the worst of times just say, Lord, I'm going to praise you anyhow. Lord, I'll bless the Lord at all times. Praise will continue to be in my mouth because that's an attitude saying, I'm not going to give in to this situation or what someone did to me or how they wronged me. I'm not going to let it take my focus. Instead, my focus will be upon God, who you are and all that you are in my life. And so I'm going to give you praise. Why? Because after all, the Bible says, know ye not that you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. And because you and I are the temple of the Holy Ghost means that he wants to dwell within you and I. Dwell. That's what I was talking about earlier about the dream center, that the enemy would like to drive us out so that we can't dwell there. Because to dwell means to habitate. And the enemy knows that if we end up dwelling there, that the presence of the Lord will habitate in that place. That he will take up residence in that place. And that God will build a covenant with his people in that area. And so the enemy would like us not to be there and use silly things to try to keep us from going there. You need to remember that about who you are. Know ye not that you are the temple of the Holy Ghost, the temple of the Holy Spirit. So we have to guard it. We've got to protect it. We've got to care for it because God wants to habitate with you and I. Now I want to focus on the fact that he's God of more than enough. Are you still with me? All right. Because I want to look at 2 Chronicles 20. And I'm not going to read it all. I got a lot of scriptures, so we're going to jump through some of them, Geneva, than what I had planned, so bear with me. But we're going to look at 2 Chronicles 20. And we're going to do some jumping around in the chapter, because originally I was going to read like 25 verses. And I don't have time. We're running out. Yeah. You'll get to your hot dog real soon, David, see? Glory. Let's start in verse 2. Let's read verses 2 and 3, and then we'll jump down. Look what it says. Then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria, and they are Hezron Tamar. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all of Judah. Now jump down to verse 12. O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. That's real important right there. Look what he says. For we have no power against the great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. How many of you know that there are times where we just don't know what to do? There's things I've gone through in my life that I had no idea what was the right decision. I've had that happen personally. I've had it happen in ministry. Just months ago, I was like, God, I don't know what to do. And every time I went to someone for advice, they were no help. Every preacher I went to was no help. Everywhere I sought counsel was no help. And I just thought, Lord, I don't know what to do. And it reminded me of Jehoshaphat and the words that he spoke here when he says exactly that. Lord, there's a great multitude coming against me, nor do we know what to do, but Lord, my eyes are upon you. And when you say something like that to God, watch out. Because he'll bring forth provision. And then it goes on in verse 13. Now all Judah with their little ones, their wives and their children stood before the Lord. That's why it's really important that there's unity when we go before God. Unity in the house. Unity in your home. Unity with your relationship. That's why the Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. We can't have two directions at once. You can't want to go one way and your spouse the other. There has to be unity. I love that. It says, now all of Judah with their little ones, wives and husbands, Everybody stood before the Lord. Verse 14, then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehazel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, and the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, the Levite of the sons of Asaph, in the midst of the assembly. I don't have time to get into that. That's important, but let's move on. And then he said, listen, all you of Judah. Anytime God says listen, you better pay attention. Listen, all you of Judah and your inhabitants of Jerusalem and you, King Jehoshaphat. Thus says the Lord to you. Do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. He tells you, don't be afraid, but be aware. Anytime God brings forth a word like that, and we've heard some, Sister Amy has brought forth a number of words recently. When I cast the vision for the Dream Center several months ago now, and I even gave you a word, and then I gave you a caution. Some people were caught off guard by the warfare that came. Why? We gave you a word. It was like this. And God said, listen. Do not be afraid nor dismayed because of the great multitude, for this battle is not yours, but it's the Lord's. Verse 16, tomorrow. So God tells them, hey, don't lose your mind. Don't have a nervous breakdown. But tomorrow I want you to go against the enemy that looks more and bigger than you. In other words, Adam, I want you to go fight the biggest, baddest man that's three times your size. But don't be afraid. Yeah, right. I know you're all laughing. You're thinking, yeah, right. I've learned that crazy can outnumber muscle any day. That's true. You don't have to be the biggest. You don't have to be the strongest. But if you're crazier than they are, you can beat them. That's true. Watch this. He says to go down against him. He says, you will not need to fight this battle. But I want you to position yourselves. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you. O Judah and Jerusalem. Notice what he says. O Judah. Judah means praise. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go down against them, for the Lord is with you. Stop right there. I've said several times to the body of Christ, we may read on just a bit. When anytime you see the Bible say, do not fear and do not be dismayed. The word dismayed simply means do not break down. In other words, don't have a nervous breakdown. Don't have a nervous breakdown. Or don't allow confusion. Haven't you ever noticed when you start getting worried or worrying about how something's going to turn out, you get all kinds of confusing thoughts? What do I do? Do I leave or do I go? Do I sell it or don't I? Do I call them or don't I? I don't know what to do. We start wringing our hands. And the Bible is very clear. Do not fear and do not be dismayed. In other words, do not have a nervous breakdown. Do not lose your peace of mind. God was calling them to go against an enemy that was much larger than they were. God often calls you and I to do things that are bigger than who we are, as he has done. He's asked us to accomplish things that are so much bigger than our congregation, so much more than what many of us would ever think or consider. And the reason he does is that is because God wants you and I to look to him. That's why the Bible, the text says that they stood before the Lord. Meaning that it's not in our own resources, it's not in our own provision, it's not in our own intellect, it's not in my own agenda, it's not in my own education. That everything that God has asked us to do is beyond my education. It's beyond my personal checkbook too. Right? It's beyond so many of those things. And God's asked us, but he said, Adam, I want you to go down and deal with this enemy, but do not fear and do not be dismayed. In other words, this is not a time for you and I to lose our mind. I see a lot of Christians online losing their mind about a whole lot of situations. Facebook's good for that, at least. But what it's doing is it's causing the church to step out of faith. Not believing. We're believing everything that's put out. Every headline of this and that. And the church is losing its mind. And we're not staying in faith. And the word of God says, do not fear and do not be dismayed. Do not. I want you to jump down really quickly. Verse 18. And Jehoshaphat, watch this, bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and its inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Then the Levites and the children of Kohathites and the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord, the God of Israel, with voices loud and high. So they rose early in the morning and went out to the wilderness. As they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. My God. To be established means not broken. To be established means I'm not going to be forced to abandon my position. Mm-hmm. Look what he says in verse 21. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army and were saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Notice what he says. They sent the praisers out first. Now, can you imagine if any president would call our nation to go to war? And some of you have served our nation in battle. Imagine if the commander-in-chief would call you to go to battle and then call every church to come. But go before those that are going to go into battle. In other words, the people, he wants you and I to go into battle praising in front of the enemy and all of those with weapons behind us. Sounds crazy. We often think that Washington's lost its mind. We probably would think that Washington lost its mind if they said, hey, Fresh Fire Church, we want you to come and we want you to go to the Middle East. And we want you to walk and march toward the enemy and praise. And the tanks and that, it'll be behind you to back you up if, well, it don't work. Oh, Lord. But the Bible says that's exactly what happened. That the praisers went first against the enemy, praising God, saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Verse 22, now when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah. And they were defeated. For the people of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir to utterly kill and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. Jump down to verse 24, almost done. So when Judah came to a place overlooking the wilderness, they looked toward the multitude, and there were their dead bodies fallen on the earth. No one had escaped. I mean, come on. No one had escaped. Lord Jesus. Final verse. When Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away their spoil, watch this, they found among them an abundance of valuables on the dead bodies, of precious jewelry. Come on, ladies. And when they stripped off for themselves more than they could carry away, and they were 3 days gathering the spoil because there was so much. Can I tell you that he's a God of more than enough? Not just that he will call you to do something crazy when you go against the enemy or opposition that you often face, like send the praisers into battle first, but so much so that you will not have to fight. Like as God promised, he said, the battle is the Lord's. All he asked is that you and I would trust him and believe. In other words, some of us have had to fight our whole way through life. Some of us know what it is to have to fight to have what we have even now. But I want you to understand that what God is speaking to the body of Christ, and I've had to understand this, I know what it is to fight. I know what it is to deal with opposition all the way around. I know what it is to have to fight against other ministries and people and circumstances and to have people mad at you all the time, all of that. And it's not fun. And so what we end up having is a fighting mentality, thinking we've got to fight all the time. I've learned that even about some marriages, because we're so used to fighting, we just fight about everything. That's true. Some of you just fight because you're used to it. It's not even that you enjoy it. It's just you've had to fight your whole entire life. And so the only way you often know how to communicate is to fight. But I want to give you a word from the Lord that you and I can hold on to and believe. This battle is not yours, but the Lord's. In other words, God is saying that you and I are entering a time, a season, that you don't have to fight. That you simply need to believe His plan and His provision for your life. Believe that just like He did for Jehoshaphat, that if you and I would maintain an attitude of praise instead of battle, that we'll go before the Lord, then whatever opposition we might face here in your homes, in your workplace, that instead of losing our minds, we're gonna give God praise. Instead of me losing my temper, I'm going to give God praise. Instead of you worrying about $1.9 million that we need for the Dream Center, you're going to give God praise. And by doing that, like Jehoshaphat, that God says, this battle is not yours, but it's the Lord's. And that when you and I come through, there will be enough spoil as there was for them. It took them 3 days to accumulate all the riches and all the gold and all the jewelry that was left for them on the dead bodies of the very enemies they had. That's why the Bible says the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. The very people that don't like you and I and hate you and I and don't believe what we believe, the Bible says their wealth is laid up for you and I. I've just been calling it in. God, I thank you that every person that believes politically different than me, they're about to send money to bless the Dream Center. God, I thank you that every person that's ever run my name through the mud has no choice but to sow into the kingdom of God. God, I thank you for every person that's ever spoken bad about anybody connected to the Dream Center. God, they're going to turn and we're going to receive favor from them in the name of Jesus. And we're seeing those things begin to happen. Walls being torn down. Relationships being connected. Resources coming in unexpected places. I have to tell one company, I said they wanted to do the landscaping. I'm like, can you wait? I said, I'm really glad you want to put shrubs and flowers and make it pretty. I said, but I've got tens of thousands of dollars that need work on the inside. And the outside's cute and it's important too. But I said, it'll just get trampled between now and getting the roof done and all these. I said, can you wait? Oh, yeah, you just let me know when you're ready. $20,000 in shrubbery. That's a lot of shrubs. Plus, I really didn't want anybody to have to, you know, cut it, trim it just yet. And we got to do some research, too, to say what's the kind of stuff, best stuff that will grow but not grow that we don't have to trim. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. See, the preacher's looking out for you. What am I saying? The Bible says that He desires that you and I have life and have it more abundantly. So then why are you settling for less? Why are you going to settle for an okay job? For an okay marriage? For an okay church? For an okay city? You know why we won't give up? Somebody sent me a message and said, well, COVID's over. Why are you still doing food distributions? I said, because people were still hungry. Well, then they need to get a job. That's what they said. I said, I'm really thankful that we have more vision than you do. That was my response. Then they unfriended me and blocked me. That's okay. But God has called the church to have a vision And what that means is that you've got to have a vision for bigger than where you are. So why are you living little when God has called you to live so big? You and I need to be able to be like Jehoshaphat and this mighty army and believe God for the impossible. Sometimes stand in the face of the enemy and opposition and just trust that he's going to be there. The whole vision and launch in front of the press and the front page news and all that stuff was done strategically. It wasn't so that people would see me. I tried to avoid the cameras as much as I could. The reason was, is so that the name of Jesus Christ was on notice and on front page news, if you noticed. So that when it's all said and done, the community can say, look what God did and look what Adam did. That's the reason. The reason God gave us that kind of strategy for this was so that he can get the glory in the end of church working with church and community organizations and all of those things. And so the Lord said, I need you to believe that this battle is not yours, but the Lord's. Go down against the enemy, but you will not have to fight. In other words, church, stop believing that that your life has to be so small when he is a God that is so big. He is a God that can do the impossible. And this is just one story of many. This is 2 Chronicles 20, but you can go into the feeding of the 5,000, and then you can look at the healing of the woman with the issue of blood. There are so many instances through the Word of God where he's a God of more than enough. And he always shows up on time and does what he does and does what he does best. But what he's looking for is a people that appraise him no matter what it might look like. Even though there's shattered glass all over the place at that Dream Center right now, we need to give God praise anyway. I will bless the Lord at all times, and praise will continue to be in my mouth. Doesn't matter if your checkbook is empty and in the red right now. Bless the Lord at all times. Let praise be in your mouth. Are you hearing me? Doesn't matter what the doctor says. And for some of the people in our church, they need to be able to have that attitude and that mindset that it doesn't matter what the doctor report said. It doesn't matter what diagnosis they gave them, that I will bless the Lord at all times and that praise will always be in my lips. Why? Because your praise is what brings him into that circumstance. It invites his presence in where he can do a divine reversal and do something miraculous in your life. That's the God that we serve. So your praise doesn't just produce breakthrough and protection and the anointing, but your praise, as we've learned today, it will also produce overflow, and God will produce overflow into your life where you don't have to do without and that you don't have to live little, but you can experience and learn and dwell in a place where that you and I serve a God that is more than enough. Even when I have needs, I don't have needs because he's a God of more than enough. And when you understand that, you'll begin to see the abundance of God all around you in your life, that he is more than enough. The abundance of God. You'll see it show up in amazing ways. Hallelujah, because he's God of more than enough. He's the God of overflow. He's the God of abundance. Even this country today, we've got a lot to give God thanks for. It ain't perfect. It's got a lot of issues. It's sort of broken. But my God, we have so much to give him thanks for. For every person that's not grateful for where you are, and then you need to visit another nation around the globe. It is not perfect. It may be a broken or fractured nation, but I'm telling you, you better start thanking God for where you are and that you have the ability to serve God the way that you do, that we have the ability to cook out today, that you have the ability to go swimming if you want to or not to, that you have the ability to do all the things that you do. And so we can give God praise that, Lord, I thank you that you allow me to live in one of the greatest countries on earth. Thank you, Father. Because your God are more than enough, and you bless this country with more than enough. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet, if you will. Thank you, Lord. You're welcome. Oh, Lord. He's a God of more than enough. God of more than enough. Thank you, Lord. I want everybody to be able to enjoy your day today or tomorrow if you're celebrating with anyone, and if you're just going to chill at home all by yourself. I want you to enjoy it. I don't care. Don't be sad and don't be discouraged by it. Some of the best times of my life have been alone. That's true. That is the truth. Not always, but sometimes. For somebody in this place, I literally, as I was preaching, could hear the Lord say, maybe it's someone on Facebook, oftentimes the reason we don't like being alone is because we're not entirely comfortable with who we are. Until you and I really truly learn to love and accept ourselves, then you do not have the blessing ability to let anybody else be able to enjoy who you really are. And you're a blessing. You might have issues. I got issues. But even with my issues, I'm a blessing. You've got to be able to see yourself that you're a blessing. You got to get comfortable with who you are. So don't be afraid to spend time alone. Get to know you. And while you get to know you, you'll get to know him. And there's no better thing in the world is to get to know you and get to know your Heavenly Father. Because what you must understand is, in order to understand him, you need to first understand you. Because the Bible says that you were created in his likeness and his image. And what I've learned is that when people don't like themselves, what they really, the real issue is they have a problem with God and how he created them. So don't be saddened if you're going to be alone at any point. Celebrate it. Figure out what you love and what makes you tick and what makes you laugh and whatever. And enjoy your holiday. Celebrate and give God praise today and always for what he's done, for what he's about to do. Even as Jehoshaphat, no matter what it is you and I are required to stand against, watch the provision and the abundance of God show up in your life. Hallelujah. And it will. And it will. Hallelujah. We're going to close in prayer. Even pray over our offering. Pastor Jim, I'm going to ask you if you'll come and close us in prayer, will you? And pray over this offering. Happy 4th of July to you all. To your families. Enjoy it. Be blessed. And I'm looking forward, as we close in prayer and we celebrate a God that's more than enough, that you are going to be wowed and astonished by the abundance of God that's going to start showing up, not just in your life, for the vision of this ministry, for this place, for all that we do. Get ready to see the abundance of God all around. Amen.